Well, when you sign up to be a coach, you immediately have a teaching style, teaching skills, and everybody knows those teaching styles and those teaching skills. Whether it's a physical, whether it's a communication brand, whether it's a on-the-field walkthrough, and at the same time, you're doing all those things with yourself and you're doing those things with a learning curve. You prepare those things before the guys get back into the building. You get those things ready. You get those guys ready to go. You want to get into the head of your coordinator. You want to get into the head of your head coach. You want to establish those philosophies, bring them all together, and make those things work. And that's kind of what the niche is. You know, the beauty of that is having all those things happen, and now you get a chance to go out and execute in OTA days. Now you're coming up, you'll be mini camp, eventually to be the season. All those things that happen, and it just kind of flows together, and it makes it real, really good and real comfortable.
Now, you said coming from a small school, you yes. had to have that mentality of, you know, like, I got to get after it. So how have you used that mentality as like coming in the wide receiver?
I kind of think that's like my mentality on life. You know, I've had a very fortunate career. I've been blessed a lot. Was the youngest head coach at one time. Now you got an opportunity to go in and take on a new position and a new role with new people, a new side of the ball. It's a lot of fun. Learning, growing, bringing your master, your tools to that side of the ball to let them know and develop what they're looking at, what they see. I think that's what they appreciate the most, and that's what's been fun for me.
Now, can you go back to like your first day? What's the hardest thing that you had to do on the job as a wide receiver coach?
As a wide receiver coach? That's a great question. I don't know whether you say hard or you would say it's a great challenge.
The greatest challenge.
You know, it's that first initial meeting that you have with those guys. When you talk about physical conditioning, proceeding, everything else, it goes back to you selling your philosophy of what you are as a coach. I don't know if it's necessarily a wide receiver position or is it just going into a different room. You know, I felt the same way going to a different wide receiver room than I felt when I went to Washington to go into a room with D'Angelo Hall as a defensive back coach. Or you take that first meeting as a head coach and you want to get your philosophy and your core beliefs across to your team. I think all those things that your core belief bonded with your head coach's core beliefs, getting all those things to mesh together, getting all those things to come together well is all of what it's all about.
Is one of the advantages of you switching over now, can you see DB tendencies when you're watching, getting ready now for the offensive side of things? Do you think you picked up on tendencies of the defense a little bit easier?
Obviously, that's going to be one of your immediate strengths, to be able to look across the ball and know exactly what they want to do to our offense, to try to do something opposite or to try to give your guys a little competitive edge. And I think the guys really love that. They like looking at it. They love hearing about defensive football. You know, we've had Coach Quinn in that room talking about defensive line play. And we have myself in that room talking about cornerback play, safety play, how they view the game, what a coordinator wants to do, what their plan is against this certain type of attack, how they want to attack us, how we got to attack them. All those things come into play and obviously becomes a very good strength for me. Coach Quinn, how you speak to your team, how you communicate. When you go back to your head coaching days, it's how you talk to your offense. It's the philosophy. It goes back to your core beliefs of coaching. And as long as you keep those things squared away, I think you got a chance of influence in any type of room that you go in.
What was the initial conversation like when you were going to make the change over to coaching receivers?
It was really myself and Coach Quinn. The first time when we talked about it and we thought about it. And for me, it was making sure Kyle was comfortable with it, because you want Kyle Shanahan to be comfortable with it. You want Richard Smith to be comfortable with it. That was my immediate thought. Okay, I'm moving over to offense to try to help Kyle, to be a part of Kyle, to be a part of this offense, to be a part of this dynamic movement. But at the same time, I'm leaving Richard Smith, and I want him to be comfortable with it. And we wanted to make sure we made a decision that it was best for the team. And ultimately, we came up and thought maybe it would be best for the team. And that was a decision that Coach Quinn obviously made. I like to say I was a part of it. I don't know if I really was. Coach Quinn had to answer that question, but I was fired up. He was fired up. And it was something that we moved forward towards. And I've had a lot of help on the way. You know, Mike McDaniel sitting right across from me, Mike LaFleur, Kyle Shanahan, Matt LaFleur, you know, all the guys in the office, Simo, Bobby T, all those guys that helped develop me and get me caught up to speed as quickly as possible to get ready to go.
Now that you're interacting with Julio more,
yes.
That's something that maybe people don't know about Julio, that you're able to see interacting with him as much as you do on a daily basis?
Julio's really a teacher. You know, when he's in the classroom and Julio speaks, he loves to influence his younger players. He's a guy that loves to talk to those guys, to get those guys going. He's not a boisterous guy where he'll try to show a guy up. You'll probably never see it in the media setting. But when he's in a meeting room, when he's one-on-one with his guys, he communicates as well as anybody, as any player that I've been around. He reminds me so much of Rondé Barber, who led in silence, who led in that kind of leadership role. who would tell people exactly what he thought they should do inside of a meeting room. But when you're on the field, all we coach was physical conditioning precedes everything. And we're going to go out there and give everything we got on the field, and then we'll coach it later. That's kind of his mentality.
There's a lot of new pieces this year at receiver. How important is your job to make sure there's depth and good rotation at this position next year?
I mean, I think that's a job of us all. It's not just only my job. It's a job of all the assistant receiver coaches. It's a job of our personnel department. It's a job of our coordinators, a job of our head coach. You are always trying to improve the bottom of your roster. You're only as strong as your weakest link. And whoever that guy is, it has to be driven from the bottom up. We call those guys the bus drivers. You know, immediately when I think about it, my coaching career, I'm thinking about a guy like Albert Mack, who came in as a free agent and my team's in Tampa, and he made the squad. He became the starting nickel. Eventually, he started some games. And I remember that bus kept being driven by a guy like Albert Mack. The bus is always driven by a guy like a Corey Ivey, some of the young guys you coach. Now it's being driven by a guy like Justin Hardy, who's in his second year and moving up. And now you get some of these younger free agents you start to put in there, and you make those guys compete, and you get that competitive edge, the central theme of the program. And that's how the team, the room, everything about us is driven.